Welcome in. Welcome back to another episode of Format Podcast Live. Thanks for tuning in. Whenever you get here, make sure you go ahead and let us know in the chat where you're coming in from, and make sure you hit that like button. Appreciate it. All right, we're gonna go ahead and get started here. So, got a pretty interesting show for you here today. Got some interesting topics. This is gonna be pretty much all NBA here. And obviously the NBA playoffs started today, so that's going to be interesting, and that's going to be the focus of a lot of the sports talk for the next, I guess, 2 months or whatever. But definitely got some interesting topics today, and looking forward to discussing those with you. Make sure if you hopping in that you let us know where you're coming in from, and make sure you hit that like. Really appreciate it. All right. So the first, matter of fact, before we get started, you know what time it is. Let's make sure we do this and knock out the particulars. Then we'll get started. If you're here on YouTube and you haven't already, please make sure you go ahead, click that like, that subscribe, that notification bell. Make sure you're kept up to date whenever we drop new content on the channel. If you want the audio only version of the podcast, open up your audio podcast platform, hit the search bar, type in The Format Podcast, and we should come right up. If you're enjoying the content, make sure you give us that like, that 5-star review, and drop a comment. All that stuff helps us rise in the algorithm, helps us find more sports fans, helps more sports fans find us. And finally, make sure you write it down, put it in your phone, set an alarm, do whatever you got to do to remember. Saturday nights at 7 p.m. we are live here on The Format Podcast, and we'll give you the opportunity to call in, talk to us, get at me. I love it. I can't wait. All right, so let's go ahead and we'll start off with Jontay Porter. And If you know anything about the NBA, or you've been paying attention to sports media over the last week or so, you'll realize that he is a Toronto Raptors player, and he's been banned for life from the NBA for gambling. So let me start to break all this down, right? So first and foremost, right, I consume a ton of sports media. So part of that is obviously having gone to school for journalism and done that as a profession. Part of that is I really enjoy a lot of the sports media talk shows. Part of that is getting all the information that I can, whether it's reading stuff, whether listening to stuff, hearing other journalists, hearing other opinionists, etc. I consume a ton of sports media. And one of the things that I've been noticing lately, and it kind of, I'm not going to say it, well, it irks me a bit, but it is what it is. So I learned, you know, you got to deal with that. It seems like a ton of these shows are sponsored by these gambling companies, right? That's what you hear all the time. And it seems like a ton of these shows either have some sort of gambling segments either weekly, or even some of them have gambling segments daily, right? And we know that the major sports leagues, they're all in bed with the gambling companies, and they make tons of money. We know this. And it's funny because in the past, sports gambling was a hush-hush thing. If you wanted to bet on a game, in just about every state, it was illegal. So you had to have a bookie under the table. The mob made a ton of money off of illegal sports gambling, et cetera. And so, you know, that's not something that leagues would ever openly get involved with. But now they all are, right? And it's crazy. Every league, including even pro freaking wrestling. And let me just digress a second. How do you bet on something that you know has a predetermined outcome, right? So we know pro wrestling is, I'm not going to say fake because people still get hurt, but we know that it is scripted. And so if you know that pro wrestling has a predetermined outcome, how can you gamble on that? You do that, you're a real degenerate, plain and simple. You just got to gamble. And it's wild. But anyway, some of the big gambling companies are what? FanDuel, DraftKings, ESPN Bet, Fox Bet, Bet365, Caesars, Bet Rivers, Fanatics. All these are major gambling companies, and a ton of them support all these sports shows. And who knows, maybe one day they'll support this show, or sponsor, I should say. But they do that, and it's just wild, right? So all these leagues, they're making a ton of money off this gambling stuff. And here's the thing, though. Every league makes it a point to tell their players that they cannot bet on their sport, and that they shouldn't even bet inside at all, inside the facilities, I should say. And that, like, that's a big one in the NFL. Like, even if you're going to bet, if it's not on football, don't even bet at all inside the facility. Just keep it clean, right? And now you got a lot of people I've heard, and they'll say, well, the leagues are working with the gambling companies, so why can't the employees bet? And to that I say, so what? The leagues are working with the gambling companies. It's very simple. It's the golden rule, right? He who has the gold makes the rules. It's that simple. They can tell their employees not to do that, right? If they have a company and part of their company's bylaws and guidelines are you will not do such and such, then you will not do such and such, or you don't have to work here. It's pretty simple to me, right? It's not an illegal order. It's not infringing on anyone's constitutional rights. If you don't want to adhere to the rules, and you don't have to be an athlete in that league. It's that simple. If the company says, or if the league, if the NFL says, yo, you won't bet on football, you won't bet inside the facility, either adhere to those rules or don't be in the NFL. This is not that hard to me. Now, maybe it's because I don't gamble, but I don't see that as being a big deal at all. Just follow the damn rules and go on with your career. But, you know, for some people, that's clearly too hard, right? So in the NBA, the big thing right now is the story about Raptors player Jonte Porter. He got the hammer laid down with a lifetime ban. So here's the details, right? Let's go ahead and get into that. Jonte Porter, he was a two-way player under contract with the Toronto Raptors, and he's been banned for life from the NBA due to some serious violations of league rules. And here's some of the details of that ban. So one, disclosure of confidential information. So prior to the Raptors game on March 20th, Jonte Porter disclosed confidential information about his own health status to an individual he knew to be an NBA bettor. And this compromised the integrity of the game. So if now I know that Jonte Porter's injured, I can bet on the over-under of maybe how many points he's going to score, how many minutes he's going to play, because it's wild how many different prop bets you can make on all these different things. But that's a whole nother story, right? Another violation is manipulating game participation. In the same March 20th game, Porter limited his own participation to influence the outcome of one or more bets on his performance. He played only 3 minutes, claiming that he felt ill. So that was one of those things that I was talking about, where it goes to that whole thing of, over under minutes or over under points scored or rebounds or what have you, all those prop bets, right? So he was manipulating that and controlling it. Okay, cool. Betting on NBA games is the third thing. While traveling with the Raptors or the Raptors 905, which is the Toronto Raptors NBA G League affiliate, Jonte Porter placed at least 13 bets on NBA games using an associate's online betting account. These bets ranged in size from $15 to $22,000, totaling $54,094. The net winnings from those bets were $21,965. So you basically lost over 30 G's gambling. Okay, whatever. You know, part of gambling is losing. That happens, right? All right, here's the next thing. Suspicious betting activity. Now, mind you, all these different subsections I'm reading you, all those are violations of league rules, okay? Suspicious betting activity. The suspicious bets related to Porter's performance in the March 20th game were brought to the NBA's attention by licensed sports betting operators and an organization monitoring legal betting markets. The $80,000 prop bet on Porter's underperformance was frozen and not paid out due to the unusual betting activity. And finally, ongoing investigation. The NBA's investigation remains open and further findings may emerge. The league has also shared information with federal prosecutors regarding this matter. Okay. Definitely, Sneed. I'm with you, man. I don't even get it. It's not that serious. But again, you know, if you're not a gambler like myself, I'm not a gambler. I can't understand how, it's that important to you that you have to do something this stupid. And yeah, to your point, absolutely. People are watching this. There are people who literally get paid just to study this and look at this and find anomalies and whatnot. And one of the biggest things there, remember, I just read to you, the $80,000 prop bet on Porter's underperformance was frozen. So they didn't want to pay out that people made money off of this, right? So they said, wait a minute, we don't want to pay this money out. We got to investigate what's going on here. And eventually the guy gets busted, right? Now, what's so interesting about this whole thing? No one would even know who this cat is if it wasn't for this whole scandal. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you I know every player on every roster, right? However, I had no idea that Michael Porter Jr. had a brother in the league before this. I didn't know that. That's crazy. And so I used the word degenerate before, right? And I know as a journalist, it's not cool to call people names and whatnot. And you probably shouldn't do that. It's unprofessional. But the fact is this. Jonte Porter clearly is a degenerate gambler. There's no question about that. He literally sacrificed an NBA career. An NBA career, okay? Listen to this. His career earnings were $2.4 million and he lost it to win $22,000 gambling? Like, are we serious here? Who does that? Who does that? You sacrifice an NBA career in which you've made $2.4 million. Now, I know that's peanuts in terms of NBA money, but that's more money than the vast majority of Americans will ever see in their lifetime. And you blew that for winning $22,000. Come on, man. Now, for me, I really don't care. Because if you're willing to throw away a career that most people freaking dream of over making some bets, well, I mean, that's on you, right? You knew you were wrong because the way you went about it, right? Because he made a bunch of bets from an associate's online gambling account. So he knew that he wasn't supposed to do that, right? He also tried to basically fix the bet by having people bet and bet himself on how long he would play in a particular game and whatnot. So he tried to fix the conditions of the bet. So he knew what he was doing was wrong. I mean, it's ridiculous, right? And for me, you do all this stuff, you deserve what you get. It's that simple. Because, I mean, again, $2.4 million to win $22,000. That doesn't even make sense. That's more than 10 times that amount. It really doesn't make sense. I can't get it. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Whatever he gets is deserved. And he got what he deserved, right? He got that lifetime ban. And now, you know what? Here's the other thing about that, Sneed. And it's crazy because this is a dude that, remember, we talked about it. Michael Porter Jr., his big brother, is in the NBA. So he's not hurting for money. He's made a little bit of money himself in the NBA. He's not hurting for dough. So what does he need to be doing here making all these stupid bets? Just being dumb. That's his problem, right? But here's a bigger question, though. I thought about this in regards to this story as well. And this is something that really I'm just not sure about. It's kind of bugging me out, and I'm really trying to figure out what the deal is, right? If this was a player with more notoriety in the league, right, a bigger name player, and I really wondered this, dare I say, like a star, not a young star, like a Ja Morant or a Ant Edwards, because these guys are still young, and if it would be something along the lines of a young player like that, that really hasn't completely cemented themselves as a great in the league, you can get along without them if you should lose them, right? But you ask, what if it was I'm just going to use a name. I'm not saying he does this, but a Kevin Durant, right? And so I didn't want to use LeBron because he's the biggest name in the league. And for all of me getting on LeBron and giving him a hard time, LeBron has been flawless in terms of keeping himself out of off the court issues for his entire 21-year career. So I would never be so disrespectful as to even put him in something like this. And I'm not saying that Kevin Durant does this. I just use his name because he's a future Hall of Famer. He's a big time star, major player currently. So let's just use him as an example. What would the NBA do if it was a major player in this situation? That's my question, right? And my question, how would the league office handle that, right? Could they afford to react as heavily, right? Could they be as heavy-handed with a player of that ilk? A Kevin Durant, a Steph Curry, a Devin Booker, you know, one of the big-name guys, a Luka, something like that. Could they come down the way they came down with Jonte Porter? I don't know. It seems like Jonte Porter, it was very easy in terms of him because his name is not big, so they can make an example and say, anybody who does this, this is what it's going to be. But if it was a bigger name person, somebody who really moves the needle and who really moves a lot of merchandise and moves a lot of money, what would they do? This is interesting. Okay, would do how they did Michael, silent ban, make him step away for a couple of years. That would be interesting. That would be interesting. Yeah, I guess that's probably how they would have to go about it. Thank you, Sneed. That was definitely a good comment. I didn't think about it that way. I had just been thinking like, you know, it's almost like if a certain superstar player who has been circumstantially linked with PED use, if they were ever to get busted with that, how would the league handle it, right? So, you know, you always wonder, man, when it comes to the big name people, you always wonder, what would the league do? I guess the silent ban would be it. But I mean, I guess you would have to do it silently because you would want to make an example, but you got to use a smaller name to do it. All right. So that's the first topic, Jontay Porter. So what I want to do is I want to go. I only got five in here, but that's all right. Oh, if you're in here, make sure you hit that like button for me, please. But if you're listening and you have thoughts on this topic, Jontay Porter banned, and how you feel about the league being in bed with all these gambling companies, but not allowing their players to do it. Let's go ahead and give me a call and let's hear what you have to say about this topic. I'm definitely interested to hear if anyone has anything to say about it. Number's 904-219-8264. You can see it right there on the bottom of your screen. Problem today is a different culture for the media. Everyone makes a name for themselves and expose major dirt, whistleblowing type stuff. Yeah, no. Well, so Sneed, as someone who obviously studied media in school and studied journalism and all that, I don't think that's a problem of today, right? One of the biggest stories in the history of our country when it comes to media was what? Watergate, right? And that was 1972, if I'm not mistaken, Richard Nixon. And so the whistleblower stuff has been going on for quite some time. So that's one of the biggest ways to make your name if you're a journalist is to blow a big story. So I don't know if it's... Yes, the culture for the media is definitely different today because there's so many more, so many different availabilities of outlets and ways to get your stuff out there. And maybe some people would say that it's even a little bit more loose in terms of vetting information and all of that because it's so quick to to be the first instead of get it right. Right, but it was easier to cover before. There are cameras everywhere now. No, that's a great point. There are cameras everywhere now. Definitely agree with you. I'd say it's harder to get away with anything because, like you said, there's cameras everywhere now. Whether or not it's CCTV by the state or by the city or by the government, or whether it's people with their mobile phones, it's really hard to get away with everything. Absolutely.